take it off the board or keep it, you leave it on the board.
Okay. Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-54, Cool Spring Realty Associates, LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district and a GR general residential district in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, dividing 26.13 acres into 18 lots, also requesting a variance from the maximum allowed cul-de-sac length of 1,000 feet and being located west of Road 290, 800 feet north of Road 262. This application was reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he had any additional comments.
Mr. Chairman, a TAC report of April 18th, 2007 will be made a part of the record. On September 25th of 2007, we received a letter from Mr. Robertson. He reviewed the deed restrictions. We've also received a letter from Mr. Robertson on February the 7th of this year in reference to the restrictions. The applicant submitted an exhibit booklet on February 4th of this year. Each of you has been provided a copy of that. That'll be made a part of the record. And we've received two letters, one being from James Badger and Donna Stotts, and the other from Brian and Linda Doon. Both of these letters are in opposition to this application. I've passed down a copy of those letters for your review, and they'll be made part of the record. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir. We thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
Mr. Chairman, not to show up Mr. Howard, but my bar ID number is 53.
The big winner tonight, sir.
You going to be as brief as Mr. Howard?
Mr. Robertson, I stopped by and visited the television on the way in, and there is a West Virginia University basketball game on, so as soon as halftime is over, I hope to be done.
Not to mention that Mr. Smith has a bongo lesson at 8:30. He'd like to make it, so...
We'll do everything we can to accommodate Mr. Smith. Gentlemen, I have the privilege of representing Spring Haven Subdivision, which is application number 2006-54. I am, in fact, Dennis Schrader, the attorney for the applicant. I have with me Rick Manning, who is a principal of the Cool Spring Realty Associates, who is the applicant, and I have Jennifer Pinoza, who is a professional engineer with Greenstone Engineering, who will be presenting the technical data this evening. We have submitted in advance of this application a project development book, which contains a number of exhibits that should help you in the deliberation on this process. Among other things, we have submitted an additional copy of the location plan, the site plan of the project. We have submitted a wetlands delineation and some other data concerning soils. Proposed restrictive covenants that have been reviewed by Mr. Robertson, and not the least of which of our submittals are proposed findings of fact and conclusions, and I'll discuss those at the conclusion of my presentation. This particular project is located on Cool Spring Road and consists of 26.13 acres. There are 14.7 acres of this project that are actually the 18 lots that we're asking for. 2.7 acres make up the streets, and 8.7 acres are open space, and there are also 4.00 acres of regulated wetlands on site and a couple incidental spots that are not regulated, and Jennifer will get into those as we go forward. If you've had the opportunity to visit the site, I think, could be best characterized as undeveloped at this point. We're proposing a standard subdivision with 3/4 acre lots that will include on-site septic and wells. And portions of this property are currently zoned in a split zone. If you were to take a line parallel to this road that appears to the south of this project, go back 450 feet, that is a GR general residential zone, which would allow my client to develop it at 4 units per acre. The rest of the property is AR1, which will allow him to develop it at 2 units per acre. And we're going to come in at something less than that. I think it's about 1.8, 1.75 for the totality of the project. There is access to Cool Spring Roads through a strip subdivision that exists along Cool Spring Road. This project is in an area in the land use plan or the comprehensive plan, which is a low-density area. I think that you and I have had this conversation about what low-density means a couple times in the last 6 weeks. Low-density in the minds of some people is 2 units per acre. Others may think it's 4. For this evening's purposes, I think it's at least 2 and probably no more, since we're not asking for more than 2 units per acre. It's also on the state strategies map at level 4, which means that the state of Delaware intends to spend no money in this area, and we're not asking it to. All of the internal improvements, infrastructure, wastewater disposal, and on-site water systems would all be a part of the standard application that we have here. The streets will be privately owned and will be maintained by the Owners Association, and if you've had the opportunity to review the covenants and conditions that I've proposed, there is a Owners Association to be formed. That Owners Association will have the obligation of perpetually maintaining their streets, roads, and common areas that are associated with this particular project. I have also included in the booklet a review of the 99C requirements for you to look at in terms of our compliance with all of the statutory requirements for a subdivision. With those thoughts in mind, I'm going to turn the floor over to Ms. Spinoza, who will describe for you the various technical aspects that go into this project. When she is done, I'm going to revisit with you for just a couple minutes for a wrap-up, and we'll all be available. I'm also going to have Mr. Banning speak. And when we're done, we'll all be available to answer any questions each or any or all of you may have concerning this project. Jennifer?
Just to reiterate a little bit of what Mr. Schrader was saying, the project is 26.
Excuse me, I need you to introduce yourself for the record and state your qualifications, please.
My name is Jennifer Pinoza. I'm a professional engineer.
Outstanding. Go ahead.
The site is 26.13 acres. It's zoned, as Mr. Schrader was saying, partially AR1 and GR zoning. We are looking for 18 single-family lots. The site is consistent with the surrounding land use. It's bound, which is actually, I want to flip that over, it's probably easier to see on the aerial. It's bound on the south, the west, and east by high-density residential. It's bound on the north by the Martin Branch, and on the west by a wooded area. The subdivision will be integrated into the existing terrain. There are 2 natural drainage ways that traverse the site, which you can see are left as open space. The minimum lot size will be 3/4 acre. The design allows for the preservation of a significant amount of open space. 33% of the site will be left as open space. 12 acres of the site of the existing woodland area will remain, 68%. There's about 16 acres of the site right now is currently wooded. 4 acres of the site is currently delineated as wetlands. None of the wetlands will be impacted or on lots. In addition, a 50-foot riparian buffer is proposed around all the wetlands to protect them from erosion or pollution. There are no historical or natural man-made features on the site. The water service will be provided by individual on-site wells. Sanitary sewer will be provided by individual on-site septic systems. A septic feasibility study was submitted to DENREC. The property is not located within a water or sewer district, and no public or water sewer service is available at the site. The site naturally drains to the north to Martin Branch. All the stormwater management will be, there's 2 proposed stormwater management areas in the natural drainage ways on the site. All the stormwater management is intended to be through the use of green technology best management practices. Our attempt is to avoid open water ponds, to avoid waterfowl where possible. It will be designed in accordance with the state stormwater regulations and submitted for approval to the conservation district. The roads will be designed in accordance with the county and fire marshal regulations. Access to the site is from a 50-acre parcel through to Cool Spring Road. The roads will be privately owned and maintained. The road drainage will be through roadside swales. We have requested a variance from the 1,000-foot maximum cul-de-sac length, and this is mainly because of the site restrictions. As you can see where the entrance is located, we had no other option of where to put the entrance. There are the linear nature of the parcel didn't allow for any connectivity to any other streets or to do a looping system because it's bound by the stream and the wetland areas. Also, the lots were configured based on septic feasibility. So in the natural, the wetland areas, we couldn't have moved the cul-de-sac, the first cul-de-sac, any further back because of the two wetland areas that exist there. So we're asking for a 100-foot variance from the maximum cul-de-sac length. Dennis, if you have anything else to add?
Gentlemen, we have submitted to you a proposed finding of facts that are contained at tab 12. This is an 18-lot subdivision, so therefore it is not subject to the plus review. We have included the TAC comments. I know Mr. Johnson would like to see a plus letter with a rebuttal, but can't do it for you tonight, Mr. Johnson.
Dennis, you said tab 12.
I can't.
I got tab 8.
8. Excuse me.
You know, they can't count.
He's a lawyer, not a mathematician. What can I say?
Comes you guys up didn't get the other four?
Yeah, that makes us feel real good.
Tab 8. I misspoke myself. Sorry about that. As you can see, set out in that, we are looking at 3/4 acres in this site. On-site septic, on-site water. We have a need for the variance from the cul-de-sac because of the unique topographical requirements of this particular property. We only have one way in and out to Cool Spring Road, and given the wetlands and the adjacent Martin's Branch, there's really no other way to put a circular drive through this particular project. Or shorten the streets up. And the lots are probably as large as you can make given the wetlands. There are no lots within wetlands. And as has been pointed out to you, where there are wetlands in existence, we have a 50-foot or more buffer from the adjacent property lines of the adjacent sites between 7 and 8 where the wetlands have been delineated. I have proposed the standard typical conditions that would be appropriate for a small subdivision of this size, and it includes that the requirement of the cul-de-sac be waived, whether the cul-de-sac requirements be waived, that final site plan be reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission, and that all the entrances be approved by DLDOT, and any construction required by DLDOT should be done by our client in normal processes. No wetlands are to be violated, and that, of course, there will be at least one sidewalk in the project on one side of the street. And we're all available to answer any questions that may be put to us.
All right, sir. Well, we thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you, and we will start with Mr. Johnson.
And you're right, Mr. Schrader. I do miss my plus comments in response to plus and response to the response. And I am kind of disappointed in this, in the materials presented to me, because I couldn't use a whole lot of my sticky notes.
Well, thank you.
I do have to say that given an 18-lot subdivision, I thought that the materials presented to us, while voluminous, were quite detailed and answered most of my concerns that I normally would have, and including your 50-foot buffer from the wetlands, as you may have heard me speak on a couple of the other presentations tonight, that it was of and is of concern to me. So it's, from what I can tell, Mr. Schrader, I hate to disappoint you, sir, but, and Mr. Chairman, I don't have any questions.
We're taking note on that.
We might want to make a notation on this
one. I'm going to need a copy of the minutes, Mr.
That's right.
Mr. Burton.
I have no questions.
Mr. Gordy.
What type of housing are you proposing?
Well, it'll be single-family dwellings. I think the question that Mr. Banning will perhaps better answer is the architectural flair for it, or, you know, Rick, you want to come up and...
Hi, Rick Banning, the owner and developer of the property. Our intent is to build single-family homes in the character of the existing homes, rancher, Cape Cod type of homes, probably 1,800 to 2,500 square feet, attached garage type of configuration.
And it's probably fair to point out this point, Mr. Gordy, that the even though a portion of this property, and that would be the lots probably 2, 3, 5, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 are in the GR. Now, the restrictive covenants will not permit mobile homes to be placed on those lots. And, of course, within the AR1 area, no mobile homes can be placed. So they're being restricted out.
That's all the question I have.
answer. Thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, Mr. Schrader, if I was owner of a neighboring property and I had concerns about how this project, if it were to be built and go through, would affect, say, drainage onto my properties, how would you assuage my fears?
Well, I'm going to take a shot at this one, although it's probably Ms. Spinoza's question more than mine, but the natural drainage is towards Martin's Branch to this side, not to this side, and so that any drainage issues that would result from either the surface of the road or driveways or whatnot will flow to the north here, and as she has designed into the project, this stormwater management area here is the big drain, if you will, at this end. Similarly, we have the same going in at this area down here. So the water flow will be to the north and away from the properties here.
With that said, if the piece of land that I owned and where I lived was on Fisher Road, would then if my drainage then was gravitating towards that branch, would it back up the water leaving my land?
I got to tell you, I was out there today, Mr. Smith, and this property is comparatively high with this area here. Do we have anything with the elevation? Is there a side of the elevation on?
How about on Fisher?
You're talking about here.
Yes, sir.
Now, Fisher is high. This is low and drains to the north. From Cool Spring, these are high, and this is a natural basin, if you will.
The rear yard drainage will go onto our property.
The rear yard lot drainage will go onto our property, and we'll incorporate that into the stormwater design. The Conservation District wouldn't allow you to berm up and block any sort of drainage coming onto the site. You'd have to contain or treat all of the off-site runoff as well.
There was a general. Did you see what I was pointing at?
I have no idea what you're saying.
Okay.
You said sidewalks on one side of the streets?
Yes, sir.
Have you looked into the possibility of a bus stop there on?
Not at this point, and it may be a little tricky because we're going to have to cooperate with whoever may be the adjacent property owners that are adjacent to Cool Spring Road, but we're going to find a way to work one in there. There's a 50-foot wide right-of-way at Cool Spring Road. I'm not going to promise you that it's going to be there because I don't know what the reaction of the neighbors would be. That's the logical place to put it, but it may be in somewhere else in there.
And I guess if you were here for the last public hearing, I asked if after the project is built out and everything, if ready to for finish, if there is silt and sediment fence up, is the developer prepared to pack that up, roll that up, and take it off the site?
I suspect that would have a detrimental effect on the sales if you still had those up. But
I'm merely reciting a care and concern of Jessica Watson, who appeared before the commission about 2 months ago and said that was a problem that whether it's negligence or just whatnot that was.
I believe part of the turnover process with the county is to actually have the silt fence removed in order to even do the turnover in and of itself.
Wanted to hear you say it. Thank you, sir.
All right, sir. Mr. Lang?
No questions.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions. Thanks. Oh,
Mr. Right. Chairman, I do have one.
You have a follow-up question?
Yes, I do, sir.
Okay. Well, follow up.
Mr. Schroeder, I know to the north of your project that you're proposing, the commission in recent months had granted approval preliminarily to Artesian to put in a sewage treatment plant and disposal area. Have there been any discussion with them in terms of the feasibility of running a line to this project?
I am familiar with that particular application and the grant of the necessary permits for them to have their water and wastewater treatment plant. The answer is yes, but at this point in time, we're not a part of a certificated area that belongs to them. I shouldn't say belongs, but we're not in artesian certificated area. The distance from these 18 lots to the site of the wastewater treatment plant, which would be up Cool Spring Road across Route 9 and then all the way to Log Cabin Hill Road. That's got to be a couple miles. And in the long haul, the answer is we've discussed it. If we can do it, yes. If we can't do it, then we're going to have to stay with the on-site septic and water. I would guess from artesian's perspective that the cost efficiency goes to providing water. It's the least difficult to construct. If we're talking about wastewater, then they've got to build the treatment plant and put in necessary transmission lines, probably some pump or lift stations, and that could get a little pricey at our end of the system.
My concern was not just for your project, but also some of the other subdivisions that are just down the street from you that certainly may suffer from failing systems as well.
My guess is that that's a good observation, because when you get to that intersection, as you spread out from the intersection and in particular go west back towards Harbison, there's a significant number of houses in there, and I believe there's at least one manufactured home park to the south of the road. I don't think the county has it on its radar screen. Maybe Mr. Robertson knows. It's not in a planning area or a study area, is it?
Not that I could say for sure. I don't believe it is.
I think when we did the artesian application, we did not identify it as a study area. But I would imagine that once wastewater becomes available in the area, that it will show up on the county's radar screen as a study area.
Because I do notice there's a lot of Sussex County hills in that area.
Yep.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Are you good?
I'm good.
All right, then. All right, sir. We thank you. If you would take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anybody here with an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-54, Cool Spring Realty Associates, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-54? Yes, sir. Step right up.
I need
you to get to the microphone and give us your name. And
okay,
then
my name is Bill Fittler. I live on the Cool Spring Road on the very north end of this property.
Okay.
My question is, they're asking for an exception to the cul-de-sac requirement of 1,000 feet. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason why there is that limitation? Why are they asking for an exception over and above 1,000 feet?
Are you asking why?
I'm asking why there's 1,000 foot.
Why there's 1,000 foot in the first place?
In the first place, right.
That's a good question.
It's a design issue based on our subdivision regulations and similar regulations with the state, that 1,000 foot seems appropriate. If it's any more than 1,000 feet, that necessity to have a variance.
Okay, I didn't know if it was fire or emergency vehicle related or...
No, it's not really that.
I don't think there's anything magic about the 1,000 feet. I think it was just a number that seemed reasonable,
just a reference
at number. Which point we would consider something longer than
okay.
that. So it isn't that the 1,000 feet is good or bad. It's just a place at which we begin to look at the applications on a case-by-case basis.
Okay. During the presentation, what they do typically,
if they want to be, say they're 1,500 feet, is that they create a cul-de-sac somewhere in that distance to separate it so that there's a mechanism for emergency vehicles or individuals to turn around without having to go all the way to the end.
Okay. During the presentation, two people made reference that there would be no impact on the wetlands. This land has been clear-cut/cut already. There has been a significant impact on the wetlands. There's been a tremendous amount of runoff coming up the Cool Spring behind my home. There's been a significant loss of wildlife that's found its way into my backyard. And I object to this development. I think 18 lots is way too much. I object to it. It's just been devastating without building house number one there. I appreciate your time.
All right,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Was that previously done? How many years ago was that done?
3 years ago.
I didn't know if it was done by. I wanted to find out if it was done by the applicant or if it was done prior.
No, it was done approximately 3 years ago. Mr. Dorfler would be able to give that better time frame than I am. There's been two culverts that have been put in place. I don't know if permits were required or obtained or anything like that, but right now they've deflected the natural run of the cool spring through these culverts. So the land has already been raped. Thank you.
All right, sir. Okay, who's next? Yes, sir, step right up.
Good evening. My name is John Dorfler, and I've lived on Cool Spring Road for 20-some years, 22 years. To begin with, I have just two questions. My first question is, have any of you gentlemen actually been physically out in this area? You have?
Repeatedly.
Okay. Repeatedly. Then you know what I'm about to say. My second question is this. When this piece of parcel ground was up for sale back in 1980, 1982, it was all zone AR1. I might have been one of the first occupants of that piece of ground, and originally I bought two lots. According to this plan, it only shows that my plot is just one. I now own three. Each and every parcel is AR1. This is it. So when I bought this ground, and all of my neighbors, it's actually 11 of us, right up that road, we all bought it as AR1. And we conform to the laws and the statutes of Sussex County. When I put my house in there, I had to put my septic tank in a certain place, I had to put my driveway in a certain place. I come within the law of Sussex County, and so did all of my neighbors. We made this neighborhood. We ourselves grubbed it out, and we made a neighborhood. We've got good neighbors. We've got splendid neighbors all around us. Now they want to come along and change it from an AR1 to general. What does general apply to?
Well, wait, this is not an application for a change of zone. The land is already zoned that way. Part of it is AR1, part of it is GR, and they're asking to do a subdivision that generally conforms to the AR requirements.
They're showing the existing GR line, but that's not a part of this application. In other words, they're not asking to create general residential out there. It already exists. Mr. Lane can maybe say how long, if it was from when zoning was created.
The zoning was established in January 1st of 1971.
Right.
And it was aligned so many feet from that roof.
And I believe in this application, though, all the lots are 3/4 acre, so despite the fact that they're in GR, they're AR-sized lots.
The application that they submitted, it does conform to what is required for AR land to be subdivided. That doesn't mean it's going to be approved. It just means it conforms to what the ordinance says. So there really hasn't been any attempt to circumvent the law or anything.
I understand that, but also there is a lot of wetland down there. And the funniest part, we used to have a lot of wild game there. Mm-hmm. Someone got in there and tore out about 7 acres of trees, and they tore theirs out. They even taken the trunks out, all the root system.
Right.
That's right. We had people in there from the Environment Agency, and they were quite amazed about that. I don't even see a deer. I see very few squirrels anymore. We used to have all type of game in there. But no. You know, we lived in an area that it was open land, and we shared it with nature, and we shared it amongst ourselves. Now they want to come along and put 18 houses in an area that it's just too much. I'm definitely against this whole project.
Okay.
It's a shame that we're really losing a lot of Sussex County. Thank you for your time,
Mr.
gentlemen.
Dorfler,
yes, sir.
You've been there for that many years?
I've been there 22, about
several
22
years ago.
Pardon?
Several years ago. Wasn't this site applied for to be used for a boat storage?
Yes. Yeah.
Years ago, maybe? 8 or 10?
No.
Okay. I thought I had the right site when I looked at it.
Right. We have a, really have a water problem down on that road as it is. It really is. Thank you.
Who's next?
Yes, I'm John Souter. I live on Cool Spring Road, just north of their 50-foot right-of-way. And I know when, I mean, if I may.
Sure, sure.
The area that was cleared, it's approximately the center area right here. It was between 2 and 3 years ago. And one more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm right here, and so the water flows this way, which eventually ends up in Red Mill Pond. And for probably 2 months, every time it rained, all that water in back of my house would be yellow with mud from that runoff of that clear cut.
Mm-hmm.
Just, and now I copied this DENREC report that's attached to the file.
Mm-hmm.
Over in your office, and they don't even know that that was cut. They refer to that whole area as still wooded. And anyway, I didn't know if I wanted to bring that point up, and it just seems to me that
Do you have any idea why it was cut? I mean,
to make room to store boats.
Okay.
That was cut before that he ever applied for the hoping to be able to store boats back there.
Different applicant, different owner.
No, same owner.
This applicant wasn't that person.
Just for the record, it was. I can tell as I looked it up. It was condition use 1541, and it was James B. Walsh who was the applicant.
Who is the current owner?
Denied.
That's right.
Pardon me.
Different than the applicant.
Oh, it's
and
the same.
This applicant, not the same. This guy's
not the
same.
It's the same property owner. I spoke with him this morning. He said he still owns the property. So, but anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. But I am opposed to. I mean, I could see a few, but I think 18 lots is a lot.
What do you think is reasonable?
Maybe half of that.
Okay.
Might alleviate this cul-de-sac problem if they made two large lots towards the back. And anyway, thank you for hearing
me. Yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. Schrader?
Sir.
Who owns this land?
It's owned by Cool Spring Realty Associates. Mr. Walsh is one of the owners.
One of the owners? Okay, that's fine.
Myself and Mr. Walsh.
Okay. All right, that's just all I wanted to know. We were a little confused, but the actual owner is the LLC at this point, not Mr. Walsh.
Correct.
Okay, all right. Good enough. Anyone else? Yes, sir. You've all been such a great group tonight, so patient and quiet.
Sure.
Don't mess up.
My name is Paul Esposito. I live across Cool Spring Road from the road will come right into my property on the other on the other side.
You mean at the driveway right in front of your property?
Yes.
Okay.
my concern is I've walked back where that property is. They've built a road. It's built up. They've hauled all sorts of dirt in there to make a road that goes back there. I assume it's not the people that are making application this evening, but they've done that. There are these big pipes. The culverts are already there. In looking over the thing from the conservation, the DENREC or whatever, mm-hmm. all the different organizations that are supposed to be consulted before this project was begun, it seems like the whole thing is kind of a moot point in that it's already been, you know, strip mined, so to speak. You know, they've already cut down all the a lot of the trees that were there initially. My question is, what happens now? I mean, it's already been done. Is there any recourse? Is there any does anybody answer to this?
I'm going to find out here in a minute.
Okay.
Because I'll find out what exactly went on, if anybody in this room knows, and then we'll see if anybody's done anything wrong. May not be that they haven't done anything wrong.
Well, I can't understand how you can come in and cut down all the trees when they in the application they talk about the
trees. Apparently, the trees were cut down 2 or 3 years ago before this application.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But
what's already happened really doesn't have a whole lot to do with what they would like to have happen. The real question is, how did it get to be the way it is, and why? And I'm going to ask and see if anybody knows the answer to that, but they may not, because it doesn't concern them, really. I mean, it's not their...
Well, the present owner has done this. I mean, the present owner has cut the, has basically stripped the land. No concern was made to wildlife. They talk about saving trees or looking at trees, certain species of trees or types of trees. I was just wondering if anything will be done or should be done, or the fact that it's happened, you just forget about it.
Or can be done. There seems to be this assumption that somebody has broken the law. And while I understand your concerns about cutting the woods down, it may not be illegal to cut your own trees down. I mean, that's I'm going to try to find that out for you, but I'm a little concerned that what somebody else has done in the past seems to be more on your mind than what's going to happen in the future. That's my impression of what you're saying, and I will ask the questions, but be open to the fact that as much as you don't like it, they may have done something that they were allowed to do. Maybe the man's allowed to cut his trees down. I don't know. I'm going to find out, though, or if I can.
Okay, and you're allowed to build roads and
I don't know.
Redirect
streams and things like that? I don't know, but okay. I want to find out, okay?
Thank you, sir. So, I am opposed to the whole
notion. I understand. I understand your reasons.
Thank you,
sir. I understand how you feel. Anybody else want to speak in opposition?
Gentlemen, I'm back.
Yeah, okay, come on.
I apologize, I'm bringing the computer up.
Well, you got to come up and tell us who you are before you start, okay? And then then you can have the floor, you can run your computer, you can put it on that screen.
I'm jealous of the guy that had the projector. My name is Mark Lashier, and my big Leland Cypress trees are the ones that borders right down that little right-of-way of yours. My name is Mr. John Dorfler, and do your computers have CD-ROM drives? You don't. Well, I've burned
not
a bunch
on
of
our, not on our desktop.
That's all right. I've got some pictures. First of all, happy Valentine's Day to all of you as well. I try to make this quick so we can get home and be with other people instead of being here.
Worry about it now, because Mr. Smith already missed his bongo lesson. It's 8:35, so I don't care. Stay all night now.
How many of you guys invest in the stock market? Any? I invest in the stock market.
This is generally a forum in which we ask the questions. You're allowed to ask questions if they pertain. Whether we invest in the stock market really doesn't have anything to do with this application.
Well, I'd like to talk about an underperforming stock.
Well, you can talk about it, but it's none of your business if I invest in the stock
market. Okay, I will take that as a point taken. Most of us hold on to investments if we have them. And if an investment is underperforming for us, we'd like to get rid of it, turn it as quickly as we possibly can. And in some cases, we hold on to it again, and, well, we wish we would get rid of it, but sometimes we don't. Years ago, Mr. Paul Hudson, who was the original property owner of this 26-acre parcel back here on Cool Spring, owned this land. And through many, many years, that property was not sold. It was on the market. Potential buyers had come by, looked at it. It was really kind of tough to get to, a lot of woods, wetlands. It just wasn't attractive to the right person. So it sat and sat. And then finally in 2001, there was a house right next door to that property, and my family and I purchased it. And lo and behold, Mr. J.B. Walsh also purchased that 26 acres at the same time that we had purchased our property. And the lot was finally sold. 2 years later, without any hesitation whatsoever, Mr. Walsh decided to come in, throw down a gravel road, and ended up clear-cutting 7 acres of trees back there. And I won't dwell a whole lot on the past, but when I talk about the past, has got a lot to do with the future of this development. When those 7 acres were stripped. And certainly a man can cut down trees on his own property if he wants to. But I think that there, if I'm not mistaken, is there some laws and permits have to be made in order for you to disrupt stumps out of the ground, pop stumps completely out of the ground? Because it has something to do with soil erosion, and it increases the more likelihood that drainage is going to occur more frequently once you possibly do that to a property. Does anyone know? No? All right. Okay.
Nobody said anything, sir. Don't assume that we know or don't know.
Well, I'm just assuming since you guys were on planning and zoning, you knew the answer to the question.
I'm letting you talk.
All right, very well.
You didn't ask me a question.
As part of the Denrec report, I'm going to pass these out as well, too. These are just some aerial satellite views provided by Google Maps.
Great, thank you. Great, that's great stuff, isn't it?
Thank Google thing. Is a great tool. I have a couple more here as well.
If you have an extra set, if you would pass them to the applicant in fairness to them, let them see what we're talking about.
Get the full-blown pictures. There's a whole another packet here, which is a whole bunch of pictures. I'll give them one as well.
Good. Thanks. If there's anybody in the public that's interested in what we're looking at, you're welcome to have mine. I can look off of these guys.
Actually, you're
here.
Welcome to have a CD-ROM if you want. There's PDF documents in here with all these files and photos in there as well.
Mr. Robertson, we cannot accept a CD-ROM if we can't look at it, because it won't be part of our. If we look at it after the public hearing's closed, then we can't.
Yeah.
We can't consider.
I'm not trying to be
a jerk, but it's just.
I didn't give anybody one.
No, I think you did. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good. Well, don't, because we can't look at it.
The Denrec report on this property, as mentioned earlier, says that this land is completely forested. And as that Google map will show, that those trees were cut out of that property. The repercussion of that cutting of that property, though nobody really knew it at the time, was that an abundance of water now flows from those 7 acres where trees were filtering and settling that groundwater, or that water from the sky, into that property. It was now abundantly running back behind that property and back behind my house, which is where that wetland begins. Over the past 2-year period, with that abundance of water, there is actually another set of pictures that actually begin in one of the thicker packets in there. You'll actually start to you'll see at the head of Cool Spring Road, where the curve in the road, where this marsh branch stream is, is we had actually a young tree collapse there 2 years ago for the abundance of water. And actually, you can still see that. You can actually drive on Cool Spring Road, and you'll see that tree collapse still there to that day. But what happens is that water saturates that ground layer so much there that the root system completely gave out, knocking over that tree, and it completely knocked out a secondary set of power lines. And the night that Delmarva Power was out there, Mr. John Souter and I were out there at 2 a.m. waiting for them to restore power. And that's when they had told us there was the abundance of water that had accumulated into this head of this stream down here that saturated that root system that ordered that tree to collapse.
For the benefit of the commission, while this gentleman's looking at the pictures, Mr. Abbott's been supplying copy of the photographs that he's referring to, so they would be part of the record.
Yeah, good. The picture, I was just concerned about the CD, if they were on a CD. But no, this is good. That's fine.
What's interesting, I think, also about this property is the notice of public hearing. As you can see, if you have the big packet on one of the photos, the notice of public hearing sign is not posted in front of the actual right-of-way on Cool Spring Road, but rather posted hidden on this little curve on Cool Spring Road at the head of the marsh stream. Why wasn't it posted where the entrance to this proposed development is? I don't know. But, just some things that I've noticed through the past.
What you're saying, it wasn't posted on the property?
It
wasn't posted at the entrance.
It wasn't posted at the entrance
to the
property.
The stream is not where the proposed entrance is. Mm. I know, I inform the office of that.
The when JB went to propose for the boatyard, it was posted right out there in front on Cool Spring, right in front of our property, so everyone could see it.
Yeah.
But this one's kind of hidden back there.
Where was it?
It's actually posted down around this.
Let me see it here.
Near where the television is in the stream.
Around this curve right here. This is where that sign's posted right around.
Where the wetlands are.
It's right in the wetland swamp.
Yeah.
With a bunch of trash. If you were to take a pic, there's a couple pictures in this photo packet of my property. And you can see, and it describes, and there's captions under each picture in here that describes the view of the property if you were to look from left to right.
Steady.
And you can see the ample, the dip in the property as it goes down to the wetland down here. There's also a picture of, if you'll see here, the gravel road that was put in. What's interesting about my neighbor, Mr. John Dorfler here, is that on one of the three lots that he had, it actually was considered to put a piece out to his sister who was going to put a driveway in. They actually had DelDOT come out and actually do a survey to put a driveway in. And when they showed up, he happened to be home at the time. They were surveying the wrong land. They saw this gravel driveway and had no idea that it had even been put in. Just, you know, again, it goes into some of the repercussions of the past. This driveway, if you were to look at this right away, and you look at my 40-foot tall Leland cypress trees that kind of come over to the side of it, how are you going to get a fire truck down there? How are you going to get emergency vehicles? And if there's ever a blaze back there in these woods, I mean, how are you going to plan for stuff like that? I mean, I don't quite know the answers, but these are, you know, valid questions that I have. As you enter into this property back here, you can't help but see the disregard for this property that it's had. The tires that are in abundance back there, that while they're back there, they gather water in the summertime and provide nice mosquito breeding.
Wait, I got a question for you.
All right.
Let's say we turn this application down.
Okay.
Is that going to move those tires off that land?
No, but
is
I would.
Is that going to grow the trees back?
Yeah.
You know, and I understand whatever. No, you've had your chance. I understand what you're talking about with all the sins that have been committed there.
Sure.
Okay. And we appreciate that. And quite honestly, I intend to ask these folks when you're done,
sure,
if that what they know about all that, and see what we can find out. At the end of the day, what we're talking about is what they are proposing to do, not the sins that somebody else has committed.
Sure.
And the reality is that what they're proposing to do may very well fix a lot of the things that you're talking about, even though you don't want the 18 homes there. I see. So you know, tell me what's wrong with what these folks are proposing, because that's what we have to base our decision on. If we turn this down because you don't like what the guy did there, you know, they'll sue us and they'll win. Okay, so give us something we can use.
Gotcha. All right. Further on in here, these pictures were taken just yesterday after a good rain. As you flip through some of these pictures and you look at the abandoned tractors and the rust that leaks through into the soil, into the ground, and you look at the abundance of water that's flowing through these culvert pipes that are all through this property, it's pretty apparent to me that even though the wetland is only marked in a certain area, this entire area back here is saturated with water. And where that water flows continues to go behind our property into that marsh stream and out through Cool Spring and eventually out into Red Mill Pond. It's been reported, and we had it verified through DENREC, that the marsh stream is the head of Red Mill Pond. So with 18 units and homes that you cut down and you take these trees out of there and you put gravel and asphalt and paint, and every home wants to put green, you know, fertilizer on their lawn to make it nice and green. All this stuff eventually filters down through this enormous funnel that's going right into the marsh stream and eventually ending up, might not be 5 years, may not be 10 years, but eventually you're going to have trace contaminants showing up in Red Mill Pond. Not that there might be stuff there already, but this is going to be another contributing factor to it. So you're going to have a lot of, I think it's because a much bigger issue than just us here at Cool Spring and the homes that are behind it, but now you're impacting the residents of Red Mill Pond as well, because you're affecting not only our groundwater, but you're affecting their water, their recreational water of the pond, and it becomes a huge environmental issue, I think. Now, that's my say on this development. My vote is sell it to the state of Delaware and make it a nice park and let the trees grow back.
And you're all right with paying for your share of that with your tax?
By all means, I'll give you $100 an acre for it right now.
No. If the state paid for the fair market of the development land, my point is that we are the state, mm-hmm. you are the state, and you don't care if your property taxes go up because of that. I'd just like to know.
I would pay my property tax to go up if that area was protected. Sure, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
I just was wanting to know.
Sure.
Okay.
But I'm against this development. I think it's wrong. I think a lot, and what you'll see in here is, if you've ever driven by Cool Spring Road on a windy day, you'll see about 30 to 40 buzzards flying in the air. And though people don't like buzzards, buzzards need homes too. And they make that habitat in those woods that are back there. And to completely strip those guys, I mean, it's, again, I don't want to dwell on the past, but you're completely disturbing a habitat back there, and it's just wrong, and I hope you vote against it.
Bill. All right, sir. We thank you. Are you done? Or if you're done? Are you done?
I think I'm done.
All right, then. Well, if you step away from that podium, you're done.
I know.
Only one trip.
At the same time, I might get back there and find that I have a,
all right.
That's something.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your comments, and I'm going to try to get some answers to a couple of your questions. Okay. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Okay. Now, Mr. Schrader. I'm sorry, was there somebody else?
No, yeah. Just the photographs. Does anybody else need to see those right now? They will be made part of the record. Oh, they have one. Okay.
Yeah,
it's up here.
Okay.
Can you or the applicant or the engineer enlighten us as to what has been done on that property and why and how and whether it was done legally or illegally or what?
Well, I will agree with the people who have spoken. It has been clear cut or cut in some fashion. It's also resumed growing again. It is weeded, and when I was there, there's undergrowth and brush grown up probably this high in portions of the property. The question that's being asked is, why doesn't somebody stop them from cutting the property? And the answer is that property was lawfully cut. The owner of property has the privilege of using his property as he sees fit, assuming for a moment there are no permits that would be required. The cutting was not done in anticipation of any clearance for a project to be built because none was permitted. So it would not be permitted by any zoning law or the application of, I forget what the section number is, but there is a section that would prohibit a person putting a subdivision in from clearing the property. And the only other thing that I can think of is that I think it's the Yellow Seed Tree Poplar Protection Act or something like that. If you have 10 or more acres of certain types of forestation, you are required to get a permit from the state forester, but this is not that type of property. So the answer to the question, it is lawfully cut. Now, whether it's good stewardship of the land, the acts that were committed by the prior owner, I'm not going to get into that. Secondly, if there is runoff from the property that affects Martin's Branch and ultimately Red Mill Pond as a result of the sediment that will go out of that, I suppose the best thing I can tell the people who are sitting behind me is that will be a permitted activity. It will require Ms. Spinoza and others to effectively design a means and mechanism that will retard the storm surge type runoff that was described by the opponents of this property, and theoretically will provide some ability
for the runoff from the site to be saturated into the ground, filtered by the soils, and slowly moved towards Red Mill Pond. It will be retarded in some ways by the presence of grass, landscaping, and other things on site. And it will be exacerbated. Of course, you're going to have drainage swells associated with the roads. There will be impervious surfaces to take into consideration, including the sidewalk on one side of the road. But as you've seen from the plots that we've provided you in aerial photos, there are stormwater management areas where this will be drained into, which are non-disturbance areas that will take place. The gentleman was referring to the tree that fell across Route 9. Where'd he go? Route 9, right?
Yep.
At Cool Spring, right where the little dip is?
The road, yes.
I'm the fellow who called it in. It was a snowstorm, and that tree fell in front of my car.
No, it wasn't a snowstorm.
There was one that fell right there, that a snowstorm, and it's still leaning up against the rail. Then more than one tree has fallen.
Well, apparently, yeah.
But that's not our responsibility.
True.
I think I've answered as many of the questions as I can. Oh, yeah. Fire Marshal. Fire Marshal will take a review of this project in order to determine its suitability for fire protection. One of the requirements we all know is that the cul-de-sacs have to allow for fire equipment, one backing movement so they can turn around. There has to be access for fire trucks up the driveway. The driveway may not be interfered with by the adjacent trees. There is no umbrella requirement within the Fire Marshal regulations as to the height or intrusion. However, if the trees are located on property others than our own, they may be trespassing trees, and may portions of them that are on our property may be removed by the owner of the property. And that would be the ownership group that I represent, not the adjacent property owners. Trying to think what else I talked about. I think I covered most of them. But if there are other questions, I'd be glad to answer.
Manning, you have something to add?
I wanted to make a comment on the placement of the sign. I believe the sign, the land equation sign, was placed right here, and which is actually in front of our
property. We figured that out. Technically, it's in front of your property. It just wasn't in front of where the entrance to your property would be.
And I think it should be made clear to the applicants, because I've recently experienced that the opponents sometimes think that the applicants do these things, and they are not done by us. They're done by staff. And I would also point out that there were public
staff.
There are public notices, and apparently they worked.
Well, apparently people see them. I would like, again, for the benefit of the folks who have the concern here, and it's a real concern. Your neighborhood's changing, your life's changing potentially. And I think a little more information, perhaps, Mr. Schrader, from your engineer regarding just basically in 100 words or less why these developments or how basically they're designed so that they don't impact the neighbors. I don't think folks are understanding that you can't make their situation worse. It's against the law for you to make their situation worse.
Stormwater runoff.
Talking about stormwater runoff and so on. Could you just kind of hit some of the basics for these folks?
Sure. The state stormwater regulations require you to maintain the peak runoff rate, the amount of stormwater leaving your site after construction. The post-develop condition has to match the pre-development rate or less. So there's no way you can increase the amount of water leaving your site in the 2 or the 10-year storm event in Sussex County. In addition, the Conservation District or the state stormwater regulations require you to provide water quality management, meaning you have to reduce the total suspended solids on your site by 80%.
This is the muddy water you were talking about.
The muddy water.
Okay, that's what she's talking about, suspended solids. It's muddy water.
So you have to design stormwater management ponds. There's bioswales, bioretention facilities. There's a whole numerous types of facilities you can do that allow the sediment to settle out or just contained onto your site, so clean water will leave these facilities and enter into the stream. And it's all regulated by the state. And in order to build the site, we have to get approval from the Conservation District.
Right. And if water from some adjacent property is running onto your property now, you have to accommodate it. You can't dam it up. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. And your water that is running off can't run off onto somebody else in a fashion that makes their situation worse. Is that
correct.
Right?
That's correct.
Okay. Good. Alrighty. Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else want to speak in opposition that hasn't spoken already? Does anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.